All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and let's start in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. And then we'll probably have time to get into this is the fourth one that we're doing. We're talking about the seven judgments that are found in the scripture. And a part of our doctrine that we believe. And we, of course, the first one was the judgment of Calvary's cross. And that is the judgment where God took our sin and had his son, the Lord Jesus, pay the penalty that we owe for sin. So God's wrath and judgment was not put on us, it was placed on his son, and Jesus paid the price for our sin. Wages of sin is death, exactly. And so Jesus went to the cross and paid our sin debt. Then the second one that we looked at was, let's see, what was that one? That one was the judgment of daily self judgment. All right, self judgment. And you remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, that but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Well, we ought to be. We ought to be judging ourselves. Would you agree to that? We ought to be policing our own daily walk with God. And the psalmist said, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine iniquity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." So we ought to be self-examining in our daily walk. All right, then thirdly, last week we looked at the third one, which was the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. All right, and that one, it comes to us from Romans 14, verse 10, where Paul said, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." So we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one of these days. All right, that's during the tribulation, at the beginning of the tribulation, after the church is raptured out and we are taken to heaven by the Lord Jesus. And that leads us to the fourth one here. And the fourth one that we're going to look at, the fourth judgment, is the judgment of the Jews. The judgment of the Jews. All right, so look, please, at Ezekiel chapter 20, and let's begin reading, please, in verse 33. And in verse 33, we read these words, "As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and will bring you into the bond of the covenant." All right, now, this is the promised judgment of the Jewish people, of the nation of Israel, the Jews. All right, so let's pray real quick, and then we will examine this judgment. From keep your Bibles open here to Ezekiel 20. All right, let's pray first. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray now that you will bless as we look at this passage in Ezekiel and some others and realize that there's coming a day when you are going to deal with the nation of Israel in your wrath, in your judgment, because of their rejection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you'll help us as we look at this tonight. Give me the words to say, and I pray that you'll bless our folks as they listen and just give us understanding of what we hear, and we'll give you the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, this judgment that that we're talking about right now, the judgment of the Jews, is going to happen during the latter half of the tribulation period. Now, you may remember that the tribulation period is a seven-year time that will begin at the rapture of the church. The church is taken out, and we, the church, will be with the Lord in heaven, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right, but on the earth, while we're in heaven and we're having the judgment seat of Christ, and we are having the marriage supper of the Lamb, down here on this earth, there is a time of tribulation, 7 years in length. Now, this seven-year period can be read about in Revelation chapter 6 through the end of chapter 18. And you can read all about the tribulation and what is coming and what is going to be poured out upon mankind and upon this earth and upon the heavens. I mean, it is going to be a devastating time, no doubt about that. So the tribulation period is divided into two parts. It is the first 3.5 years, and then the second 3.5 years. In the first 3.5 years, we will see the rise of the Antichrist, the beast, as he is called in this book. Now, I have told you and preached to you many, many times and taught you that that I believe it's clear from the scriptures that that the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim, that he is going to be the 12th Imam that they are announcing that they are looking for in Islamic eschatology. All right, there is a Bible eschatology, all right, and I broke that down for you: rapture, ruin, the tribulation period, ruin, 7 years, return, that's the literal coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got rapture, ruin, the tribulation, return, that's when Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation period, and all of us who were taken up to meet the Lord in the air, the dead in Christ, as well as those of us who are alive and remain, we will come back with him, all right? And we will fight during the Battle of Armageddon. We will fight against the armies of the Antichrist. All right, that's what we read in the book of Joel, chapter 2. And we'll look at that in just a minute. Never fails, does it? Every service, bar none, you pay attention, it never fails. ambulances, fire trucks, state police, county sheriffs, everybody and his dogs running to something. But anyway, that is going to happen. Just as sure as we're sitting here, you say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. That's how I know that. All right? It's clear from the scripture of what is coming. And I believe that the tell them is coming in the last days. All right? I believe that parallels exactly with what we read in the book of the Revelation. In Revelation, you have the devil, all right, the devil, Satan, and then you have the beast, the Antichrist, and then you have the false prophet. In the Bible, that's what we see. The devil, all right, the serpent, then the dragon, and then you see the beast, and then you see the Antichrist. Now, if you take Bible eschatology, and eschatos, remember, is future things, all right? And ology means the science of or the study of. So eschatology is the study of future things. So if you take Bible eschatology and you lay it out, rapture, ruin, return, reign, 1,000-year millennial reign, restoration, the new heaven and the new earth. You take that Bible eschatology and lay it out on a table. You can then take Islamic eschatology, and you will see that it is a perfect match. What the Quran and the writings of Islam say is coming is exactly the same thing that the Bible says is coming. The only difference is, in Islam, the Bible's bad guys are Islam's good guys. All right? You understand that? What the three that the Bible portrays as evil, Satan, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, they're the bad guys in the Bible. But in Islam, they are the good guys. Okay? And so what is Islam? It's nothing more than the devil's deception of the Bible. It's the Bible turned upside down. That's how I presented it to you back in 2010, if you remember back that far. All right? Long time ago. And so who does the Bible identify as the beast, as the Antichrist in the Old Testament? Well, he is identified as the Assyrian. All right, did you hear that? He is identified as Pharaoh. He is identified as the Babylonian. Babylon, the Babylonian. Now, what do all of those leaders have in common today? They're all Islamic nations. Egypt, Islamic nation. Syria, Iran, Iraq. What are they? Islamic nations. The Babylonian. What is Babylon? That's Iraq. What is that? That's Islamic nation. All right? And so The Bible does not call the beast the New Yorker. All right? The Bible does not call the Antichrist the Londoner. All right? Or the Amsterdamite. No, what's he call him? He calls him the Babylonian, the Egyptian, the Pharaoh, the Assyrian. And so all that identifies with what are today Islamic nations. And so I believe that this Antichrist, the beast, is going to be a Muslim, the Muslim Messiah. They call him the Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I. And if you want some exciting reading, just Google M-A-H-D-I. It'll blow you away. There is so much information. And you can read it for yourself and see. All right? So what's the point? Well, the point is that in the first part of the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years, this Antichrist is going to rise. He's going to rise to power. And when he does, he's going to have all the answers. He will solve crime. All right? He will solve the peace problems that the world is having. He's going to have all the answers. He's going to take care of getting the entire world on his side. He's going to present himself as though he is God. Midpoint of the tribulation period. Reads 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he will sit down upon the throne in the temple and will demand worship. And a deceived and blinded world will worship him. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen just as sure as we're standing here. It's going to happen. And so at that midpoint of the tribulation period, that is when he's going to turn on a dime. And all his peace efforts are going to go out the window. And he is going to turn his hatred and the world's hatred toward the Jews. All right? If you think that all of this hatred today for the Jews is by accident, well, I got a bridge I'd like to sell you in New York City. All right? I got some oceanfront property in Colorado I'd like to interest you in. All right? No, it's not by accident. It's not by deception. No, the devil is purposely already working to get the world to despise and hate Israel and the Jews. Israel and the Jews, the devil's enemy. Now, you say, well, why does the devil hate the Jews? Well, one reason is because our Savior is a Jew. That's one reason. Another reason is the devil can read. And he knows that the Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus is going to return to this earth at the end of the tribulation period, and he's going to destroy the armies of the Antichrist, the beast, and he's going to take the beast and the false prophet, and he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. The devil knows that. He can read. Make no mistake about it, folks. The devil knows the Bible better than any of us or all of us combined. And he believes every word of it. You'll never hear the devil denying the authenticity of this Bible unless he's trying to deceive you. But that's what the devil does. And you mark it down. He knows what this book says. And so knowing what the book says, he knows that when the Lord comes back, he is going to take a seat on the throne of David and rule and reign this world for 1,000 years. And there's not a thing the devil can do to stop it. And that's why he hates the Jews. Because guess where the throne of David will sit? In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. Thank the Lord for the fact that in the first term of Donald Trump, we, the United States, recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Amen. So Trump won up the devil right there. As soon as I heard that, I said, one for Trump, zero for the devil. He lost one here because it's coming. And Israel will be the capital, Jerusalem will be the capital of the world with the Lord Jesus upon the throne. So during this second half of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to turn his hatred towards the Jews in a major way. There will be death that will happen among the Jews during that time. It's going to be oppression. It's going to be bad. Look at Ezekiel's prophecy here. He says in verse 33, look at verse 33 carefully. All right, he says, as I live, God will surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, God says, I will rule over you. I'm going to run the show. Now, let's be honest, folks. For the last 2,000 years, the Jews have not had a homeland until 1948. They were run out of their kingdom, of their nation. They were stripped of their country in 586 BC. That's when Babylon came and conquered the Holy Land. So they have been without a nation, without a country, without a capital, without an identity since 586 BC. Now you think about that. That's almost 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. All right, you with me? Now we've had what? 2,000 years since the Lord came. And then suddenly in 1948, Israel became a nation, recognized by the civilized world, not by their neighbors, not by the Muslim nations around them. I mean, for even today, if you go to Israel and they stamp your passport and you want to go from Jerusalem or from Tel Aviv, that Ben Gurion airport, if you want to go from there to Jordan or to Egypt, they will not recognize your passport because you have an Israeli stamp in your passport. So what they have done for years is they have taken a blank piece of paper and they'll lay it down, stamp it, and then stick it into your passport. And that gets you in and out of the country. But if another nation in the Middle East sees your Israeli stamp in your American passport, forget it. You're not getting in. They won't let you in because they don't recognize Israel as a nation. And they still don't today. All right? So realize that they have done their own thing. Now, granted, God has worked in bringing about the prophecies which brought them to 1948, where they became a nation. That was prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah told us that that was going to happen, and sure enough, it did. It did. And so, what do we have? Well, we have God saying, all right, Jews, all right, you've been blinded. Remember, John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Exactly. And so you read Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, and in 9 you see Israel past, in 10 you see Israel present, and in 11 you see Israel future. Romans, the book of Romans, 9, 10, and 11. All right, so past, present, and future. That's a good way to read it. It'll help you understand. And so when you get to chapter 10, those of you who have taken the Soul Winners Club, you know how important the 10th chapter is in leading someone to Christ, right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what Paul is arguing in that 10th chapter to the Jews. But they don't want to be saved. They don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah to come. Lied to again. And they believed it. And so now, because they have believed the lie, God is going to bring judgment upon them. He said, I will rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered. Now, when were they scattered? Well, they were scattered when Babylon came. They were scattered when the Medes and the Persians came. They were scattered when the Romans came. And now there are Jews literally all over the world. But God has been calling them home. Plane loads of them. come from the Soviet, former Soviet Union, Russia, and all the satellites of Russia. I mean, they come from everywhere. There's a whole city down south of here called Pikesville. Pikesville. Reisterstown. Yeah, Jews everywhere. New York City. Jews everywhere. So God says, I'm not done with you yet. You've rejected me, but there will be a judgment upon the Jews. And that's what we're reading about here. God says that there's going to be fury poured out in verse 34. So what's going to happen? Well, the Antichrist is going to turn on the Jews at the midway point of the tribulation period. Now, don't forget, in the first part, he's going to make a covenant with them. And that will be the reason that they build the temple, the new temple. But then at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist turns on them. And he goes in to the temple and he offers a sacrifice that will be blasphemy. Blasphemy. A lot of folks think that he's going to, instead of offering a lamb on the altar, he's going to offer a pig on the altar. Well, now, you know how the Jews feel about bacon, all right, and pork chops. You can't find them in Israel. You can't find them. They don't have them. We're always looking for bacon when we go over there for breakfast. No, unless you stay in a completely American hotel, you're not going to get bacon. Not even turkey bacon. Not even soybean bacon. No. No bacon at all. And so when the Antichrist comes after him, then it's going to be so bad that God is going to have to step in and protect the Jews. And that is when they're going to run to Edom. They're going to go across the Jordan and across the Dead Sea area, and they're going to go down into the mountains of Jordan to a place called Petra, and God will hide them there. There's one way in, and there's one way out. I don't know how else to explain it to you. You just have to go see it to believe it. But there's one way in and there's one way out. And the Edomites built a city in there eons ago. They built a city there and it carved it right out of the walls, right out of the rock walls that are in that area. It's something to see. It's amazing to see. All right? But that's where God's going to hide them. Now, if he doesn't hide them, then the Antichrist is going to destroy them. And that's not in the works. That's not in the plan. They're God's people. And so that's not going to happen completely. All right? So the point is, folks, there will be a judgment of the Jews. Why? Because they have rejected the truth. And I told you all here recently, I don't remember if it was a Sunday or a Wednesday night, but I made the point to you that the major belief system in Israel today is atheism. Atheism. There's more atheism in Israel than in any other nation per capita. You say, wow, that's weird, isn't it? Yeah. You wouldn't think that, though, would you? But it's true. It is very true. Now, why do they feel that way? I'll tell you why. Well, Paul said they've been blinded. They got scales over their eyes. They were blinded. You say, who blinded them? God did. Well, why did he do that? Because they rejected his son. That's why. And so you get generation after generation after generation of people who are hated by the world, who are despised by nations, who are a little country no bigger than New Jersey, and you are surrounded on all sides by an enemy who wants your total destruction. Folks, when they cry from the river to the sea, that's annihilation. From the Jordan River, which is where their boundary goes today. Now, God says they're going to own from the great river all the way down to the Nile. All right? The closest they ever got to that was under Solomon. But they've never been close since the days of Solomon. And now what we see is a nation that is surrounded by Islam. And the whole decree of Islam is destroy the Jews. And so generation after generation after generation after generation, hatred, bitterness, murder, blowing them up, burning their cities, killing their children, you name it. Adolf Hitler, century after century, you get a people who do not even believe in God any longer. That's how bad it is. You go over to the Holy Land and you see those Hasidic Jews over there, the ones with the black outfits on and the black hats, and they got the little strings off their belts and all that stuff, and they're standing at the Wailing Wall rocking back and forth. All right, the reason they do that, they stand with their Old Testament scriptures and they just rock back and forth, and the reason is because God said that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our strength, all right, with all of our mind and all of our hearts. We're to love the Lord. So that's why they rock back and forth. They are loving God with their strength. Strange, huh? I mean, why take that literally? But you won't take literally, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Strange, huh? You know, they pick and choose what they want to believe. But should you walk up to one of them over there and ask him what he thinks of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he'll spit on you. He'll kick you in the shins if he can. He'll size you up first, make sure you're not able to whoop him. But he will definitely spit in your direction. They hate the Jews, the Hasidic Jews, the Orthodox, they hate Christianity and Jesus. They hate it. And God's going to chasten them for it. There's judgment coming. All right? And isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that even today, right now, Satan has blinded an entire world to hate the Jews? I mean, we've got a worldwide media who has done nothing over the last 60 years but hate the Jews. And now look at young people who are today spending fortunes to go to universities and get a degree. And you stop one of these radicals in New York City or in Baltimore or in Chicago, in Atlanta, in Los Angeles, in St. Louis, in Miami, New Orleans. Stop any of them and say, excuse me, let me ask you a question. Do you hate the Jews? Yes, I do. Well, what did Jews ever do to you? Well, they didn't do anything to me. But look how they're treating those poor Palestinians. Look how they're treating those poor Palestinians. Well, wait a minute, folks. Why wouldn't they say, no, I don't hate the Jews. I hate Hamas. Look at what Hamas did to those poor Jewish people. But you see, the news does not present it as though the Palestinians had anything at all to do with anything. Well, where do you think those Hamas terrorists come from? Palestine. They're Palestinians. Don't you remember, folks, that when 9/11 happened, they showed video of over in Bethlehem, Jewish women rejoicing and throwing candy to the children like it was a holiday. Why are you so happy? America was attacked. We hate America. The evil Satan. Who taught you that? Well, we learned that in school. Well, we learn it here in school too. Don't be deceived. It's taught here just like it's taught over there. And that's why you see Americans siding with the Palestinians in all these matters. Everything's backwards. What's right has become wrong, and what's wrong has become right. You might as well get used to it, because it's going to be like that until that trumpet sounds. All right? Well, why do you hate the Jews? Well, they're unfair to the Palestinians. What about when the Palestinians came into Israel and started raping and killing babies, putting babies in hot ovens, turning it up on broil, and then leaving with the door closed, killing moms, leaving them lay there to watch their babies as they take their last breath die in an oven? Everything's backwards. Everything. And so there's coming a day, because you see, folks, what judgment does is it straightens things out. All right? When little Adolf is misbehaving, all right, you get that child and you say no, and you discipline that child, or you should. And then the next time little Junior says, well, I'm going to do that. Whoa, wait a minute. Last time I did that, I got spanked. Last time I did that, judgment came. Yeah. Yeah. And then little Junior thinks twice, doesn't he? I know that worked pretty good in the Belcher household. Yep. Yep. So how is going into Israel and killing all those people, how is that fair? Well, I don't know, but I just know that they're cruel to the poor Palestinians. Well, folks, listen, nobody's starving in Palestine. Nobody's starving in Palestine. Don't you believe that for a minute. There's more than enough food in Palestine. Amen. That's right. You check it out. Check it out. Just don't believe what the news tells you. Check it out for yourself. And you'll find out. Everything's backwards. All right, we got to quit. I'm not done, but we got to quit. All right, that's the judgment of the Jews. All right, next Wednesday night, we'll start with the next one, which is the judgment of the nations. And you're going to love this one. This one's awesome. Awesome. Wow. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you now for our time together around your word tonight. Thank you for what Ezekiel told us about the judgment that will come upon the Jewish people because of their rejection of the truth. And Father, I pray that you'll help all of us to understand all this and put it in its proper perspective. And Father, may the word of God encourage our hearts and strengthen us tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.